When I brought the message about 3 years ago, I spoke of the time in 2005 when Barbara underwent two surgeries and 8 weeks of radiation for treatment of early detected breast cancer. She did her radiation in Dallas so that she could stay with our daughter and her family, and I drove there to visit all but one weekend. And I told you that during those long trips, God put the words of a song on my heart and in my mind, and I shared that song that day. One of the verses to that song was, "There's so much in our lives that's out of control. We need a firm anchor to which to hold. And the only true anchor is God's precious Son, who will love us and guide us until our journey's done." A few months ago, I began thinking again about that firm anchor and remembered that there are many examples in Scripture of Jesus being in a boat, either preaching from the boat or sailing with the disciples. Two examples of that, of those Scripture passages, are the ones that Jerry just read a minute ago. I think almost anyone who has been fishing knows about anchors. I never had the opportunity to fish from a boat when I was growing up, but I learned about anchors from another source. When I was young, I was very interested in the military, and I had a 45 RPM record of all the theme songs of the various branches of the U.S. military. Now, probably nobody under the age of 50 has ever seen one of these 45 RPM records. This isn't the one that I had, but it's one pretty close to it. Those were back in the days of turntables. Not surprisingly, my favorite theme song was that of the Navy, because my father served as a Navy intelligence officer in the Pacific during World War II. I suspect many of you are familiar with part of the Navy theme song. "Anchors away, my boys, anchors away, until we meet once more, here's wishing you a happy voyage home." Well, what is the purpose of an anchor? In terms of boating, an anchor is used to keep a boat from moving very far away from its desired position. If not for an anchor, when waves hit the boat, it would move in the direction of the wind and the waves. To me, this anchor is a metaphor for Christ in this way. When we have Christ in our lives through prayer time, meditation, church attendance, and other spiritual practices, He keeps us from getting too far away from following God's will for us. He keeps us from yielding too often to the temptation to sin. God wants us to be in unity with Christ and with each other. If we do that, in the words of John Wesley, sin will continue in our lives because we live in a fallen world, but sin will not reign, R-E-I-G-N, in our lives. What would Jesus do is what we often need to ask ourselves. Just a few minutes ago, we sang the hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And one of the verses was, "Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above." I think these words are what the Apostle Paul was talking about in chapter 7 of Romans when he says, "It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Who will free me from this life of sin? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. What is a fetter that is mentioned in that verse? I suspect the ranchers here could answer that. A fetter is something like a rope or a tether that confines or restrains, much like an anchor. In doing some research, I learned that Christians adopted the anchor as a symbol of hope in the future existence because the anchor was regarded as a symbol of safety. For us, Christ is the unfailing hope of all who believe in Him. Thinking of Christ as my anchor to keep me from straying too far from His intended life for me gave me comfort, but as I continued investigating anchors, I found what I considered to be something even better. In biblical times and for many, many years thereafter, sailors didn't have any of the sophisticated electronic equipment like radar and depth finders that we have today. In early times, a ship would come near to harbor, but in darkness, it couldn't safely draw too close to the shore. So a sailor, called the forerunner, would take an anchor that was connected to the ship, and he would take it to shore in a small boat. As he rowed, the line linking the anchor and the ship was played out, and eventually the forerunner would reach the shore and secure the anchor on land. In the morning, the ship then needed no sails. The crew of the ship would then begin to wind in the anchor cable. It's not the anchor that moves, but just the ship. Slowly, the vessel is winched to the shore. Our forerunner is Jesus, who has entered through the veil and made fast our anchor. How do we know He is our forerunner? Scripture tells us, For those God foreknew, He also predestined to conform to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Did you follow that? That Christ might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, and that includes us. Our salvation is secure, like the immovable anchor that the crew on the ship cannot see. We are told in scriptures that we are to strive to be more like Christ. As stated by Paul, we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. As the Spirit of the Lord works in us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. Day by day, as we become more Christ-like, our cable is shortening, and we are drawn nearer and nearer to our forerunner, Jesus. When I thought back about my life in terms of this metaphor, I remembered my time in MYF, and I could envision that crank turning a couple of times. When I went on my walk to Emmaus in 1993, I could envision that crank turning for me four or five times. When we moved to Mason in 1975, and I came to know my lifelong friend and spiritual mentor, Norman Rowe, I could feel that crank turning as we discussed faith. And as I spend morning time in prayer and reading devotionals, as I participate in worship here, the years that I've spent in a Monday mornings men group here at church, and in so many other ways, I know that over time I have been drawn closer to Christ. Later today and during the next week, I want and would urge each of you to take some time to think back on your life and the ways in which you can envision that crank drawing you closer to Christ. Perhaps it was in leading your children to become believers. Perhaps it was a spiritual retreat, or serving as a Sunday school teacher, or as chair of a church committee, or singing in the choir. Maybe it has been as a mentor for a student at school, or working with Habitat for Humanity, or at the food bank, or in a myriad of other activities. For some of you who are younger, perhaps it was helping your parents, working hard at school, welcoming a new student with your friendship, always being kind to others. Just think of that crank turning with each memory. I mentioned earlier Paul's lamenting his continuing sin, but later in Philippians chapter 3, he says, "But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven." Those thoughts reminded me of the last verse of the song that I wrote, which is this: "Lord, you gave me my life, now I give it to you. Continue your work in me that whole life through. I want to be more like you, loving and kind, so on judgment day I won't be left behind." I believe our goal should be that of John Wesley: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. If we persevere, I believe we will experience what we sang earlier this morning: in the sweet by and by, we will meet on that beautiful shore. And when we reach heaven's shore, what will we see? Christ, our forerunner, waiting to greet us. Now, he may not be on the shore frying up a batch of fish like he was doing for the disciples when they saw him after his resurrection, but he will be there to welcome us. And how do we know that? Jesus himself said, "My Father's house has many rooms, and I am going there to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not true." Faith links us already, and our faith will bring us to him at last. My prayer today is that each of you will continue your spiritual practices and keep doing good in order to keep your crank turning, so that when the time comes, you will come face to face with your forerunner Jesus and hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen.